Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 and H1 FY25 earnings conference call of Kandhar Oil Refinery India Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Siddhesh Dharmadhikari from Orient Capital. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Siddhesh.
Thank you. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I welcome you to the Q2 and H1 FY25 earnings conference call of Kandhar Oil Refinery India Limited. To discuss the Q2 and H1 FY25 business performance, we have from the management Mr. Ashlesh Parekh, Joint Managing Director, and Mr. Indrajit Bhattacharya, CFO. Before we proceed with this call, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risk and uncertainty. For more details, kindly refer to the investor presentation and other filings that can be found on the company's website and stock exchanges. Without further ado, I would like to hand over the call to the management for the opening comments, and then we will open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Siddhesh. Good afternoon, everyone, all in one present on this conference call. I'm Ashlesh Parekh, Joint Managing Director of Kandhar Oil Refinery India Limited. I am joined by my CFO, Mr. Indrajit Bhattacharya. We appreciate your time and interest as well as we review our financial performance for the second quarter and second half year of FY25. Today, I will provide an overview of our business performance amidst a dynamic economic landscape. During the second quarter of FY25, Kandhar recorded a revenue of 9,351 million in this quarter. For the half year ending FY25, our revenue reached 19,229 million, demonstrating a steady performance despite broader economic challenges. Our international markets have shown strong and consistent demand, with overseas sales accounting for around 40% of the total sales in Q2 FY25 and half year ended FY25. Our strong presence in international sales and international markets highlights our expanding global footprint and ongoing efforts in market diversification. At Kandhar Oil, we remain committed to expanding our presence in the white oil sector, especially within the personal care, healthcare, and the performance oil segments. Our long-term strategy includes diversifying our product portfolio, expanding new markets, and enhancing our customer engagement, with collectively positioning us for sustainable growth. Although we have encountered short-term challenges such as shipment delays impacting our margins, we view this obstacle as very temporary and expect a gradual improvement in the quarters to come. While manufacturing volume at a consolidated basis remains stable compared to a previous quarter, our standalone manufacturing volume had increased to 99,172 kiloliters. The prime reduction of our top line was due to reduction in our average selling pricing. The key drivers of this trend include a decrease in the crude oil pricing, the softer demand in FMCG and pharma businesses over the past two quarters, and also increasing the freight rates because of the issues in the Red Sea and the Israel war. Our working capital days remained fairly stable this quarter. A slight increase in debtors and inventory days were offset by a rise in the creditor days. Additionally, our current ratio remains very healthy, and our debt-to-equity ratio is negligible, reflecting minimal debt and at a standalone level. We maintain a strong fixed asset turnover ratio of 13 times, which demonstrates our efficient utilization of resources. In closing, Kandhar Oil remains committed to delivering value to our shareholders, customers, and stakeholders. We are very confident that our focus on innovation, diversification, and operational excellence will continue to drive our growth in the years to come. Thank you for your continued trust and support in Kandhar Oil Refinery. With that, I hand over my call to Mr. Indrajit Bhattacharya, who is the CFO, who will take you through the financials in detail. Thank you once again. Over to you, Mr. Indrajit.
Thank you, Ashlesh Bhai, and thank you, everyone who has joined us on this call. I shall now take you through the financial performance of Kandhar Oil Refinery for the second quarter and the half year ended on half year of 2024-25. In Q2 FY25, our consolidated revenue stood at 9,351 million compared to 9,948 million in the previous quarter. For the half year ended FY25, consolidated revenues were 19,299 million compared with rupees 20,714 million in H1 FY24. Our overseas sales, as mentioned by Ashlesh bhai, is around 7,742 million, which comprises around 40% of total sales, reflecting our continued international presence. On a consolidated basis, EBITDA for Q2 FY25 stood at ₹402 million compared with ₹603 million in the prior quarter. For the half year ended, EBITDA totaled at ₹1005 million. Consolidated profit after tax for Q2 was ₹181 million compared with ₹326 million in the previous quarter, with a half year profit after tax of ₹508 million. Turning to key operational metrics, net working capital days remain the same. Slight change in the net working capital days, and our current ratio remains healthy with a negligible debt to equity ratio, as there is virtually no debt at the standalone level. There is slight reduction in the ROC due to decline in EBITDA, which was affected by lower gross margins on both a quarterly and yearly basis. Return on equity also decreased, reflecting a reduction in net income. Nonetheless, we maintained a healthy fixed asset turnover ratio of 13 times. Thank you for all your attention. This concludes my summary, and with that, we'll open the floor for any questions that you may have.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Narendra from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity. So first question is regarding your gross margins per kiloliter, right? What caused the drop in the margin from about 10,000-11,000 levels to the current rate is 8,500? When do we expect these to, you know, improve to the GL levels?
You want to ask a couple of questions, right? So if you can give all your questions together so we can...
Yeah. So my next question is regarding our UAE plant, right? Texol. What is the utilization level? I believe we were aiming to bring it to 70-80 kind of a range this year or maybe next year. That is my question. Where are we at? And also, on the same level, why has it been the way it is? We have started that plant in, I believe, 2019. What has caused the delay in ramping up of the production, despite Gandhar being a 10% kind of a share player in the international market?
So your first question is on the gross margin. Yes, the gross margins have reduced because of the effect of a few headwinds. First of all, is the price of crude, which has dropped substantially during this quarter. Second is even the FMCG sector, which consumes more or less 50% of, about 47-48% of our total turnover, was not performing too well. So there has been a reduction in the pricing on that account. Third, on the export front, we have taken a bit of hit because of the increase in the freight rates caused by the Red Sea issue. Freight rates have gone up substantially. This has also impacted freight rates on the import front also. So these are the main reasons why the gross margin has decreased. On the Texol capacity utilization, see, currently the Indian plants are practically close to 100%. The Texol plant is currently doing around 70 to 75% capacity utilization. And like we said in the earlier thing, it will expect by this By this year end, it is expected to reach about 80-85%, and by next year, we should be around 100%.
Okay. So, sir, just a follow-up. Do we see the gross margins going up anytime soon? And also on the Texol front, if we aim to reach 100% kind of a utilization, can we expect 500,000 or 550,000 kind of volumes by year-end?
See, first of all, coming back to your question on the gross margin, we anticipate gross margin will definitely be recovering. We had faced headwinds, as informed by the CFO, in terms of increased freight costs, increased Red Sea issues, and overall lull demand in FMCG businesses, which is our core sector. So, we are anticipating a good recovery from the coming quarter onwards. So we anticipate gross margins to be at the levels which were in the previous phase to be coming soon for the company. Coming to your second question on capacity utilization for Texol, already, although we have been 70% utilized as of this year, we anticipate the volumes current volumes is approximately around
6 lakh total, right? Or annualized?
He wants only for Sharjah. So the total installed capacity is around 235,000 kiloliters in UAE. And annualized, if we do it, so we anticipate around 87,000 kiloliters for this year.
No, what Ashleshbhai meant is we expect around 2 lakh 5,000 KL this year, and the rest of the amount will be picked up by next year.
Correct.
Okay. So what I was asking is on the console level, I believe we could
okay.
easily do 500 to 550,000.
So we'll on year end we expect to do around 490 to 500,000 KL.
This year.
Okay. And next year onwards we should be utilizing the whole
capacity. Excess of 500.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you and all the best. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Dakshay from PwC. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. The first one will be related to the US FDA observation found in the Taloja plant. So I believe there were two observations found in Form 483, right? I just want to know what is the status of it and how critical are those observations on the day-to-day operation of the business. This will be my first question. The second one I want to understand, so I've gone through the PPT and we are already holding 26% market share in India and around 9% globally. I just want to know what is the market size over here we are talking about. So I'm more of interested in, are we a small fish in a big pond or are we already a large fish in a small pond? So I just want to know the overall market scenario, the overall market size in which we are playing. So this will be my couple of questions.
Fair enough. Coming to your first question regarding the US FDA, yes, we received two observations which were minor in nature. There is no monetary impact on this observation to answer your question. Second thing, the Form 83, we have to reply within 3 weeks. The reply to the US FDA authority has already been filed and we are awaiting further feedback from the authorities there. So there is no substantial impact and the sales to US are still being continuing as the way it was. I hope that answers your first question.
Yes.
And coming back to your second question regarding the capacity.
Market size.
The market, I'll just share you the details. I'll just come back to you if you can, come back. Can we just take this question after the other questions, please? We'll just open the market share slide and get back to you.
Okay. What is the status on the Silvassa capex going on? So I can see a WIP standing in the balance sheet right now. So I think 18,000.
Silvassa capex has been completely done with. Okay, we have enhanced capacity by 1 lakh KL, and that is done. The other WIP that you see in the balance sheet is minor maintenance and regular WIP capex to that extent. So Silvassa capex is complete.
So currently the max capacity will be around 5,97,000, right? So no more than that. So this will be our max capacity as of now.
Right.
Okay. So that is it from my side. I could just appreciate if you could come back on the market size.
Yeah, we'll get back to you on the market size.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Anushka Roy from Trade Brains. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So I would just want to follow up on the opening remarks. You had mentioned that you would want to diversify your products and expand into various markets. So I think at the beginning of the quarter two, the Texol, a subsidiary of yours, got an order from Abu Dhabi National Oil Company. So are we expecting any such kind of expansion going forward, let's say in H2 of FY25 or FY26?
See, obviously, you know, the orders from existing customers are very much on ongoing basis. Yes, we do get, you know, some certain exclusive orders, you know, like the one we got in ADNOC in last year. Similarly, we got a similar order from, you know, other customers also throughout this year. As the financial markets worldwide, you know, gets a closure in December. So maybe new orders, whatever would be expected, only, you know, will be in quarter one. We are almost in the end of financial year, you know, for the majority of our overseas customers. So maybe, you know, we may have some feedback on such substantial orders only by early next year.
All right. Okay, thank you. That will be all from my side.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Bhavesh Patel from Patel Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. And my question is regarding the US FDA observations. I heard that it's under the filing and we are going to close it. But will that open up new market as well as our ability to sell new products? And the second question is about the utilization of IPO funds for the CapEx and when would we expect that contribution to top line as well as bottom line?
Yes, it's a very good question, especially the first one. Yes, you know, with US FDA audit and, you know, the approval almost in place now, you know, we anticipate, you know, our share of exports, you know, for these specific products to the US will definitely be going up in the coming year. We are quite optimistic and very hopeful about it, you know. So we will definitely see, you know, improvement to the exports to the US going up in the coming few years. Coming back to your second question on IPO utilization of Mr. Inderjit will give your feedback.
So the IPO utilization of funds is practically complete except for the capex being done at Taloja. There is about 10-12 crores of funds still lying over there because this project is expected to get completed by next year. So that is the thing. Otherwise, all and a bit of GC and a bit of those IPO expenses are yet to be reimbursed. That's it.
Okay, that's great to know. And I'm hoping that the H2 will be much better than H1. And in fact, you will be able to increase the dividend also steadily.
Yes, Mr. Patel. Thank you for your.
We are also hoping on the same line, sir.
Absolutely. So thank you, Ashlesh Bhai, as well as Indrajit. Best wishes. Thank you.
The gentleman from PwC, can we just answer your question right now on the market size?
Sure, sir. We have them on the call.
Okay.
The global specialty oil market is $125 billion. The Indian specialty oil market is $7 billion. And out of this, the white oil, global white oil market is 3.3 billion, and the Indian white oil market is 0.43 billion.
And also coming back to your question, you know, whether we are a small fish in a big pond or a big fish in a small pond. See, the idea is this is more of an oligopolistic market. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like a big boys club. The big gets bigger, you know. So if you see our revenue also, you know, it has increased substantially over past four to five financial years, you know. So that is how, you know, the business has been, you know, with bigger volumes, you know, comes bigger volume discounts from our suppliers. We have, you know, better bargaining power from our suppliers as well. Thank you.
Mr. Dakshay, your line has been unmuted.
Thank you so much for the response. Can I fairly assume that the price that my realization and my margins will be directly depending on the prices of the crude oil. So if the crude oil goes up, my margins will go up and vice versa.
No, no, I don't think it is an absolute 100% correlation. What Mr. Inderjit intend to tell you was because of the shipment delays, you know, because of the Red Sea movement, you know, because of this Israel-Iran, you know, ongoing tussle going on, you know, there were some delays, some shipment which got, you know, delayed because of this, and, you know, the product arrived a little bit later than expected, you know, that is why, you know, there was a little bit reduction in the margins, you know, in specifically in this quarter. So there is a time lag, you know, from movement of crude oil price to our finished product price. And we do have some contracts with some of our customers where, you know, the pricing is on a price pass-through basis contract as well. So there is not a safe assumption to be, you know, direct correlation of crude oil pricing.
Yeah, there's no one-to-one correspondence.
Okay. And also I understand that in the last phone call you had mentioned that we have entered into a pass-on contract with the customer. So any increase in the freight cost and a delay and everything would be passed on to the customer.
Yeah, it is a price pass-through contract. So, you know, the freight price, the raw material pricing, you know, are being passed on to the customers, you know, as and when the situation arises.
But still our margins are impacted in this quarter.
Yeah, so the price pass, see, as informed earlier during the presentation, you know, I think around 25 to 30% of our business is on price pass-through contract. And balance, you know, these are spot contracts which are priced every 15 days. Now, as informed to you, because of the delay in shipment, you know, some shipments, you know, arrived, you know, little bit later than expected, you know, so that specific sales, you know, we could not, you know, materialize that sale at that selling price, you know. We have to work as per the market. So that is why, you know, the realization had reduced.
I understand. Thank you so much for your answers. Wish you a good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Mohammed Farooq from Pearl Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Thank you for the opportunity. In your previous podcast, you mentioned an annual sales growth to be 10 to 15%. You know, and the goal to increase capacity and utilization both in Sharjah and the Kolhapur plants.
Mm-hmm.
Could you please, you know, provide an update on where we currently stand in relation to these targets and share any guidance for the remainder of the year, please?
So capacity utilization, I'll tell Mr. Bhattacharya to give you a brief rundown on the capacity utilization once again.
So the capacity utilization of the Indian plants are practically at the 90-95% levels. The capacity utilization of the Sharjah plant is at 70%. We expect it to reach 80-85% by this year end, and next year we expect it to reach close to 90-95%. So this is the capacity utilization part of it.
Okay, so what about the growth targets, 10-15% annually?
So we are looking at volume growth between 10-12% definitely, and we've been achieving that also till now, so we are confident of achieving a 10-12% volume growth.
So this year you are not going to achieve that for this year, current year, full year?
We are on course of, you know, achieving our volume growth. With the volume has increased, you know, and normally historically if you see our second half is, you know, always better than the first half, you know. So we are quite hopeful that we will be in a position to, you know, to cover up, you know, the momentum which has been impended because of the global situation.
Okay. So now you have given couple of reasons for the drop in the operating profit margin for this quarter, Q2. Like shipment delay or drop in, oil prices, yeah? So do you think that these drop in margin will be offset in the Q3? That will get benefited in Q3 because the delay in shipment or prices drop in oil price, those things will be reversed in Q3?
It will be difficult for me to give you a forward-looking number or a forward-looking statement in terms of, you know, whether the margins will increase or decrease. But yes, you know, with the things in better control, we anticipate, we are very hopeful that, you know, we'll be in a position to, you know, achieve better than what we have achieved in quarter two.
So finally, what would be your project, the EPS for Q3?
Please.
EPS.
Yeah.
For Q3?
Yeah.
No. So it will be better than the present quarter, okay?
Yeah, we are.
But I can't give you this thing. So you're talking about projected net profit, right? I couldn't hear your question.
No, earning per share. Now you have 1.9.
Earning per share.
Yeah, earning per share.
It's a bit too narrow a question to answer as to what will be the EPS.
Yeah.
So it will be better than definitely what it is this quarter.
Okay, okay. But full year, you know, compared to like the last year, 16.27 EPS. Last year, full year was 16 rupees 27 paisa. What would
Sorry,
be
what?
Your full year EPS?
Sir, आवाज नहीं आपका आवाज एकदम धीमा आ रहा है. If you can just
speak up a bit.
Yeah, last year full year EPS was 16.27. So what would be your projected EPS for current year?
It's difficult for us, you know, to predict the future forecasting, but we are, you know, at company, we are trying our level best, you know, to improve our margins, to improve our profitability and thereby improve our EPS, you know, and give valued benefit to our shareholders and stakeholders.
No, I don't need the exact number. I just want to say whether it would be same as last year, at least, or more better than last year, EPS.
Sir, normally we don't give such guidance, but definitely as I informed you earlier, you know, it will be, we are definitely, you know, working harder, you know, to achieve, to have a better quarter for, you know, the coming two quarters. And as informed earlier, our second half is always better than the first half. So we anticipate, you know, things will be in a better position for the coming quarters.
Okay, thank you. All the best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Sahil Vora from MNS Associates. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. I just had one question. So given the impact of the Red Sea crisis and challenges in the FMCG sector on our margins, along with the measures that we have already taken, such as adjusting contracts to cover rising input costs, and shifting freight costs to FOB, what are the key risk areas should we consider, and how are these adjustments currently affecting our overall revenue and margin?
So, see, things are looking up. I mean, just off the record, yesterday I read somewhere that with the victory of Mr. Trump as the president of USA, the Red Sea issue should come to a standstill very shortly. It should not be there. I mean, these things are for the future to tell, but there is very high hope that the Red Sea issue should get settled very shortly. So in that case, our exports are expected to pick up and come back to the previous year's levels, and the margins will also improve on that account. On the FMCG, things are looking up. We've had a good monsoon. Rural demand is picking up. We expect margins to also come back. The gross margins and EBITDA per KL also to improve on that account.
Understood. Thank you, sir, for the detailed response. I'll join back the queue for the question. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Darshil Shah from TBC Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. My first question would be, could you share the blended volume growth and the PHTO volume growth for this quarter?
Yeah. You can ask your next question to them.
I'm sorry?
You can ask your next question while we dig out this figure.
Okay, sure. My next question is, while I understand the revenue has seen only a marginal decrease, could you also help to clarify the factors that contributed to the significant drop in profit after tax on quarter-on-quarter basis?
Yeah, so the main reason for that is the decrease in the gross margins. See, when my gross margin decreases, it has an impact on EBITDA and PAT both. See, your fixed costs remain fixed to a certain extent. Beyond that, you can't reduce your fixed costs. So my although there's hardly any borrowing in the company, the interest cost is reduced, but the administrative cost, the fixed cost, will carry on at the same level. So a decrease in the gross margins will lead to a decrease in the EBITDA and the PAT.
Yeah. Coming back to your first question, you know, the BHBO volume has been 57,651 kiloliters in Q1 of 24-25, and in Q2 it has been 58,464 kiloliters.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Yash Dantewadia from Dante Equity. Please go ahead.
Yeah, am I audible?
Yes, Mr. Yash, you are.
Yeah, just want to understand a couple of things. Why is our interest cost so high? We have a debt borrowings of, I think, 225 crore, but we are paying an interest outflow of 11 crore per quarter, approximately, right? And it was even more higher prior to this. It was at 14-15 crore. So I really don't understand why the interest rate is that high for us.
Okay, so there is hardly any debt on the standalone level, okay? But there is substantial debt on the subsidiary level at Texol level, for which we are financing, for which we are incurring the interest cost. In terms of finance cost or interest cost for the standalone business, we incur some SOFR plus lending interest cost on the supply side and LC discounting. So that is the, otherwise there is no debt in our balance sheet on standalone level.
But don't you think for a, the consolidated debt figure that it's showing in on my screen right now is 225 crore, and we have an interest outgo of almost 50 to 60 crore on 225 crore. So I'm not able to understand why the cost of interest is that high. Is the 225 crore wrong then?
Is the 225 crores? Sorry?
The borrowing number that I have, 225 crore, consolidated.
Let me take it out. So, 130 plus 27.
157.
Yeah, so the debt amount that you're talking about is that only. So I we don't know to what's exactly your question. So the rate of interest you mean to say, right?
So my question is, we have a consolidated debt of close to 225 crore,
right,
but our interest outgo per quarter on an average over the last four quarters has been 50 crore. That comes to an interest rate of 25%. My question is, why is the interest rate on 225 crore interest outgo that high?
Just a minute. My finance cost is not 25 crores per month, per quarter.
It's not 25 crores per month. I said 15 crore per quarter, which translates to approximately 40 to 50 crore per year.
It's 11 crores in the previous quarter. In this currently completed quarter, it's 12 crores in the previous quarter.
Yeah, 11 crores for the previous quarter. Before that, it was 13 crore. Before that, it was 14 crore. And before that, it was 16 crore. That gives me an average of 13 crore per quarter. 13 into 4 gives me 52 crore, right? For the last four quarters. While the substantial debt amount has remained approximately that 225 crore figure. So, on a 225 crore or 250 crore debt, why are we paying 50 crore of interest outgo? That's what I'm trying to understand from you, per year.
I'll have to get back to you on this. I'm not committing right now. Let me go through this. I'll get back to you on this.
Yeah. So this is my first coming to my second question. Can I also understand your operating leverage in your Sharjah plant, right? You said in your previous call that you're expecting the capacity utilization to go up to 100% in your Sharjah plant by FY26. My question to you is, what kind of operating leverage will kick in and what is the present capacity utilization, and are we expecting a margin expansion because of the operating leverage, because like you said to the previous caller, that you have fixed costs, right? So obviously if the capacity utilization goes to 100, a lot of operating leverage should kick in, which should increase your operating margins. So could you throw some light on that?
See, the operating, Hexol, as we informed earlier, the capacity, you know, obviously will, the 100% utilization level will be, you know, we expect, you know, to reach 100% utilization by end of FY25 or early FY26. Once that kicks in, you know, the economies of scale operates in terms of fixed cost, in terms of, you know, in terms of my tank capacities and so on, you know. So it will be difficult for me, you know, whether what will be the amount, exact quantum of margin expansion that will happen. But definitely, yes, once the utilization is above 100%, then definitely, you know, the fixed cost will come down and there will be a margin expansion. Over and above that, you know, there is a you know, loan which also will be repaid, you know, from
can our... Can you quantify the margin expansion, sir, please? And what is the present capacity utilization?
The present capacity utilization...
Around 70%. Okay, and the volume discounts will increase. The volume discounts, as we increase the volumes, the size of the discount also increases. It currently is around... $10-$12 KL, which will also is expected to increase as our volume of take increases.
Right, right. So basically, is the margin expansion measurable, sizable, anything on that front? You said the discounts are going to increase, but can is it possible to get a 100-150 BPS sort of margin expansion?
We also hope that it works out.
Right. Right. Okay. I have more questions, but I'll come back in the queue.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Manda Agarwal from AB Associates. Please go ahead. Manda Agarwal, your line has been unmuted. Please
Hello.
Proceed.
Hello, am I audible?
Yeah, Ms. Manda, you are audible.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. So my question is, could you provide some guidance on volume growth for the current year? Specifically, what growth are we targeting for FY25? And additionally, can we expect any improvement in per liter margins? And regarding our subsidiary, what level of utilization are we aiming for this year?
See, as informed earlier, the utilization as of now is around 70%, you know, for our Dubai plant. We anticipate, you know, to be around 80%, you know, by end of this year for our UAE plant. Now, as far as our growth forecast for FY25 or second half, obviously, historically, you know, our second half, you know, has been a better performing half, you know, compared to our first half. So we anticipate, you know, the volume growth will be, you know, better than the first half growth. Hello? Hello?
Okay, hello. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. We will take that as the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Siddesh Dharmadikari for closing comments. Please go ahead, sir.
Ma'am, the gentleman whose question we couldn't answer, can we have his number, please?
Sure, sir. We will get back to you with him.
Okay.
Thank you. And I would like to thank the management for taking this brief time out for this conference call today. And thanks to all the participants.
Thank
if you have any queries, please feel free to contact us. We are Orient Capital, Investor Relations Advisor to Gandhar Oil Refinery India Limited. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, sir. On behalf of Gandhar Oil Refinery India Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.